All right, Joshua chapter 5. Now we have come across the river on God's path, as we talked about. And he brought the children of Israel across, and they put up a memorial of stones for each of the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel said, every man grab a big rock out of the... He didn't say a big rock, he said grab a stone, but I can't imagine it was just a small stone, because they wouldn't have lasted very long if you tried to stack them up, you know, they'd probably blow away. But these stones were no doubt of some size, just to be able to create a memorial, you know. I don't know if the old guys in the tribe said, okay, you five young men, go find it, get that rock. You know, can you imagine they're probably trying to outdo one another getting rocks. You know, yeah, Reuben's the oldest. He wants to get the biggest rock, you know. Exactly. They want to just, you know, put up a memorial for what? A memorial for this is where God opened the door for us and sent us into the promised land. Right here, you know. And now later, Solomon built two pillars on either side of the Red Sea, you know, put those up. But God said to these guys, get these 12 stones and put them up and make them for a memorial on this side, the side that you came in on, the side at which you crossed over and entered into the promised land. So we remember that. We talked about it in the last chapter that we looked at. Now, so once they've crossed over into the promised land, the land is God's land that he promised them. You know, and that's really kind of an interesting thing, you know, that we're talking about entering the promised land, and with all this stuff going on in the world today, right? Isn't that funny? You know, because we just started talking about it. I don't think when I started, when I just did Joshua chapter 1, I didn't realize really at that point God was going to have me, we'll keep going. But a lot of people don't know that. You know, when God starts you out, a lot of times you don't understand it. God got you to keep going. Amen? He wants you to keep going. And so, you know, when I started out with Joshua, I said, okay, we'll treat chapter 2. And teach about how those people who you think are the most wickedest people are the people who aren't going to make it. Or, you know, and so he hires a prostitute who is right on the corner of the city, and said he's going to save her and her family, and they're going to bring people into the first city in the promised land when they come in. So God uses people you don't expect. If you're a person you didn't expect, raise your hand. I'm a person I didn't expect, you know, that God would use me. But God is using you. Amen? And he's bringing them in to this promised land. Now, they were out in the wilderness 40 years. They kind of got a little bit of a waylaid, what they thought was, you know, we got waylaid, you know, by the bad people. You know, I'm sure Joshua and Caleb were all bent out of shape, you know. We ran around here for 40 years. Could have had a bunch of crops by now, you know. Could have had a bunch of houses built if it weren't for these bad people. But God didn't mind taking some time, did he? God didn't mind taking some time to prepare himself a people. And you ever felt like that? It felt like God sure is taking his time. God sure is taking his time, dear Lord. Well, you know what? You just rest. God is preparing himself a people. And not only is he preparing himself a people, he's preparing you. He's preparing you, you know? He's putting everything together to bless you and to make you a place of refuge and a place of joy in his heart and to the people. Amen? So let him have his way. And that's what he's going to begin to do here in the next chapter. Here they've come across this river. And God led them across. Now this time, of course, you know that the river just stood up on one side. It was a river this time. It stood up on one side. You know, remember last time it stood up on two sides because it was a sea. This time it was a river, so you just lift up one side. God's a good engineer. He's a good water handler. You know, the rest of the water, where'd it go? It just went on down. It just went on down. But it was dried. He dried that up. He dried up. Every time God does something, you know, He does it in a way that is going to accomplish His purpose, right? Amen. Well, it didn't seem like it dried up for me. It seemed like I walked over in mud. You know, anybody been like that? You know, saying, well, God kind of did a half job. He stopped the river, but I had to walk over in mud, you know, or something like that. God always makes a way for what He wants to accomplish. Amen. So I know that. Yeah, and the thing is, you have to know that. You have to know that. Is God always makes a way to accomplish what He told me to do. I just may not see it. I just may not know what it is for the moment. But He's going to reveal it. And so, first of all, I walk in joy. I don't mean me. I mean you. You want to say I mean you. I walk in joy and confidence that God will always do what He said He would do. He is going to finish the job. Amen? So when I wake up in the morning and it looks like it's cloudy and rainy and I was supposed to do this and that and I can't do it because of that, that's okay. God's got something else going on today. I can always rejoice when it looks like, you know, I can't get the job done today, because God is going to do something to push the whole scenario along. He's going to push His kingdom along when it just looks like there's something. My day went haywire, right? When my day got messed up, you know, I think the whole world got messed up, you know, so I want to complain about it. But no, God is getting His job done, and He wants me to walk with Him and rejoice with Him. Give me, you know, get your umbrella out, you know, get your galoshes on, you know, I don't have any galoshes. Well, put a baggie on your foot, whatever you need. God will lead you in the right path to get you where He needs you to go so that you can tell somebody about the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, sometimes your telling isn't, you know, with you telling. Sometimes your telling is, how'd you respond to that? How'd you respond to that? Because people watch you. You know that, right? Especially if you're a believer, they watch you. They will find out how you're going to respond to negative things. Negative circumstances. That's good enough. That'll work. Yeah. How do you respond to negative circumstances? Do you use every four-letter word in the book? Now, y'all don't. I know you don't. You know, but it doesn't matter if you swear or not. You might as well. You might as well swear if you're going to have a stinking attitude. Amen? Because that, you're listening to the devil. You're listening to the enemy who says, you know, well, I wish that wouldn't have happened. That was the worst thing. I don't know why God let, you know, you just crap and complain and, you know. No, every day, God is going my way. It's like when I complained about that guy, little girl, put in my car. Same car. Of course, you know, everybody knows I've got same car every other person in Dallas got. Yeah, I've got a black Toyota Camry. Yeah. If you're trying to find me, you will never find me, because I'm driving a black Toyota Camry. And there's thousands of them all over the town. But this little person slowed down and decided that it's going to pull right in front of me this morning. In my car, of all things. In a black Toyota Camry. Probably a 2019. Looked exactly like mine. And they pulled right there, and Janet, she heard me. I said, well, look at that. I pulled up over in front of myself. Well, that's a sermon all by itself, isn't it? You ever pull in front of yourself? The Bible talks about people who oppose themselves. Yeah, have you ever opposed yourself? I find that's true. We oppose ourselves. The Bible talks about how you oppose yourself because you believe a lie. Because you respond to a lie. Amen. So what you want to do is say, Lord, bless that little lady right there, whoever that is, pulling in front of me. Amen. And I was protecting her from something else. You know, I don't know what I was doing. But God, everything that's going on, it works for my blessing. Amen. Does everything work for your blessing? All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are the called. Well, I wish God had called me for something good. Well, you know, if you quit not complain, you know, God just got you running. You know, remember you used to talk about, there's a little song that I used to sing back in the 70s. Take a little trip around Mount, take another trip around Mount Sinai, you know. You know, but that's you. You actually take another trip around, you know, around Mount Sinai, you know, till you change your mind. Till you change it. Chad, you remember that, right?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, take another trip around Mount Sinai. Did you change your mind? See, because God's got you protected. Listen, God's got you protected until you change your mind. Huh? He's got you protected until you change your mind. You know, they got all pulled off into Babylon, pulled off into Persia, you know, and they got pulled off into these things, and God used these people. But He said, when you get over there to Babylon, He said, build houses, plant gardens, marry off your kids, plan to stay here a while. You know, and here you are in beautiful America, you know. And as a Christian, you know, you think you should do something different. No, God said, be where God put you and live for me. And live a life of joy, thanksgiving, and peace. Pray. He said, pray for the peace of that city. That's Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 is not, you know, everything's going to go honky-dory. Jeremiah 29 is, you're going to be here a while. That's the real message of Jeremiah 29. You're going to be here 70 years. If somebody tells you you're not, kill them. You know, just get rid of that prophet. You know. Amen. So over here, they're going across the river. And it came to pass, chapter 5 of Joshua, it came to pass when all... And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, on this, the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Well, that sounds a lot like what the city of Jericho was talking about when the spies went over there to and they met up with Rahab. You know, everybody here is scared to death of you people and your God. So those kings, their heart melted. Neither was there any spirit of them anymore because of the children of Israel. So God had already dispirited or depressed the enemies that they were coming into the land. They had come over into the land, and their enemies, the reports on the news, the polls that they took, you know, were like, these people are going to kill us all. You know, we're done for. So they weren't getting their armies together. They weren't trying to get things going. They were busy digging bomb shelters and, you know, hunkering down for the coming war that was coming from Israel because God had given them the land. At that time, verse 2, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make you sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. All right? So he says, and Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Well, I guess that's where they put them all. And for this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that had come out of Egypt that were males, and all the men of war had died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. So all the ones in Egypt, they were already circumcised. It's like they were doing them, circumcising them from the eighth day. That 400 years while they were in Goshen in Egypt, you know, they were carrying on, you know, that process of that tradition of circumcising, just like Abraham did. They carried on that tradition of circumcision, all right? Because they were, all of them were part of that covenant. They were part of the covenant of Abraham. The covenant of Abraham included circumcision, that the foreskin was removed off of the male, and that was the sign of you were a separated people, all right? Obviously, that only applied to the men. Yes, sir.
Everybody knows, all the Jews, well, not all the other guys, the bad guys, so to speak, they know that the Jews are going to come take over the land. So to weaken yourself for, it's going to be 4 or 5 days to recover, I don't know how long. But
3, for sure. You can't move, you can't walk, you can't do anything.
Yeah, so to go through that process, when you'd be a sitting duck. If
mm-hmm. had yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
So God had them stay weak. I mean, he made them go
yes.
mm-hmm. weak. And it's like, they must have scratched their head and said, well, you know, maybe this is not such a good idea.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We until we've conquered the land. We can do all we do later. You know,
but yeah.
But that army's mm-hmm. ready to swarm us.
Yeah. Well, but of course he says he got armies that are ready to swarm us, but they're so scared and hunkered down. So God set them aside by his own power.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, in the natural, you're thinking, hey, let's get them while we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get them while we're feeling good. But God says, no, I'm going to weaken you further.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you, you know, absolutely without the...
So they had been for 3 days.
Exactly. Exactly. Amen. And so he says... So they had all come out of the war. All the ones who had come through, of course, they're the ones who rebelled, and they died in the wilderness, right? So all the ones who had been circumcised up to that point, you know, they weren't doing the circumcisions out in the wilderness. They weren't doing it to the kids that were coming through. Now all the people that came out of Egypt were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them had they not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware to their fathers, and that he would give us a land of milk that flows with milk and honey. Verse 7. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass that when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole, till they were healed. All right? So, and the Lord said to Joshua, listen, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. It's the release. Gilgal means the release. All right? So they have released them from the reproach. So we're starting over. we're starting over. You know, it's like when they gave the law. Well, and you found out you couldn't keep the law. Well, God knew you couldn't keep the law. But you couldn't keep the law. So what did he do? He made another covenant. He made another covenant, the covenant of the cross. He made a covenant, the covenant of the blood. Amen? That Jesus Christ would remove all of your sin. The lamb slain. But was it really new? I mean, it was the lamb. Remember the lambs that Moses commanded to be slain? All the sacrifices that God commanded to be done? Until the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. So God brought us along, and then He birthed Jesus to complete that covenant and bring us back to the covenant of faith alone, the Abraham's covenant. Jesus really brought us back to the covenant of Abraham. Yeah.
I see another parallel here. It says He rolled away.
Mm-hmm. Rolled away, yes. Mm-hmm.
And when He rolled away that stone,
yes,
from that grave,
mm-hmm,
it was all over.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All the past was over.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. He rolled
away the reproach.
Rolled away. What else do we know about rolling away? What got rolled away? Anybody?
Our burdens.
Well, our burdens got rolled away. What natural item got rolled away? Think Jesus. What? The stone. That's right. That's it. The stone was rolled away. When the stone was rolled away, Jesus came out. So it's important not that just Jesus died, but the important thing is that He rose. Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? He rose up. Because He was illegitimately crucified, He paid our debt. But then the justice of God said, you know, He lives again. And when He lived again, guess who He took with Him? You. Jesus brought you with Him. Anybody who believes that Jesus is the salvation from sin and death, if you believe, that's all you do. And then He comes and lives on the inside and does all of it. He does all the work on the inside of you. He rejoices on the inside of you. He heals people. He causes you to not sin.
Well, I sin all the time.
Well, you probably not believe in Jesus. You know, amen. You probably not trust in Him. See, people do sin because they don't believe Jesus is good. They don't believe God is good. They think they ought to make their own fun, right? People think they got to make their own fun, so that's why they sin. Yeah.
Well, I don't have any joy, so I just make my own.
No. God. Believe in God. Believe that God is your joy. This is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I have great expectation that what He promised, He's able to perform. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, now. So He says, and the Lord said, verse 9, Joshua 5, 9, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day, everybody said, this day.
This day.
Awesome. When you got cut. Ooh. The day when you got cut. The day when you got born again. The day you got born again. The day you got killed. Because when you're born again, that means you are what? Dead. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20, right? For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, go figure. How does this work? I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I live. I appear to be still breathing. I seem to be still walking around. But I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live, right past that crucifixion, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's all done. All the work is done. He rolled away the stone, rolled away my reproach at the same time. Wherefore, Gilgal, the place is called where they cut off the foreskins, it's called the release. Gilgal is called the release. Amen. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho. Well, they hadn't been keeping the Passover either. So they're coming back to faith. Circumcision is the sign of the covenant. Then the Passover is what? The sign of deliverance, right? It's the sign of deliverance from the destroyer. So you've been circumcised, you had the Passover lamb. And then what happened next? And then on verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. All right? So on the morrow, so that night, the night before they ate the Passover, the next day during the daytime, so this is all within the same Passover, all within the same day, because day starts in the evening, right? Okay? In Israel, day starts at 6 p.m. So you had the Passover overnight, and then you ate this corn. Well, wait a minute. Remember, they came over the river, they had the Passover. They did a few days of get rid of, you know, take the, get better from the circumcision. And so now you're eating. And verse 12 says this, the manna ceased on the morning after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel had manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So, you got circumcised, you observed the Passover, and the manna ceased. That provision in the desert ceased in favor of provision in the land. God brought them into the land. Are you in the land? You're in your land? You're in the land of Jesus Christ. We don't count the land as heaven. I don't count the land as heaven. That's just kind of the next destination. The land of milk and honey is right now. I've got it in my heart. I've been born again. I am in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, I mean, so many hymns and so many parts of the Christian life are, oh God, can't wait for the manna of heaven. Can't wait to... get off of this old world, looking for a city. You know, all this stuff. You know, you're looking for that. How about this? You know, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're already at the land. Remember in the sea, when Peter was walking on the sea, and the sea was all stormy, and then he got back in the boat, walked into the boat on the water with Jesus, got back in the boat. Immediately, where were they? Immediately, they were at the land. Why? Because Jesus had told them already to go to the other side. So they immediately, when the storm ceased, and then Jesus, they were at the other side. Because the living God indwells me. Amen? Now you still have a flesh. Yes, you do. You still have one of these. Right? Everybody got one? Check it. Make sure. You know, it's kind of how you got in here. You kind of walked in here this morning. You brought that little flesh carton in here. But the flesh carton doesn't rule. Amen? You have been redeemed from the power of sin. You have been released from the power of sin. The power of God lives on the inside of you. The problem is people don't believe that. People believe that they have to keep a law, rather than the law keeping them. Ooh, I like that. The law keeps you. Amen? Because it is written now, it's written in your heart. It's written in you. The law is written in your heart. So he is restarting the walk with God in the new land. Circumcision, Passover. And then no more manna, but the fruit of the land of milk and honey. All right? And it came to pass, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, that there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, so he sees this guy out here just by himself. He lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the man said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? So this is the angel of the Lord, captain of the Lord's host, and he has a message. And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose your shoe from your feet, for the place on where you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straight in the first chapter 6. Jericho was straightly shut up, closed up because of the children of Israel, and none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, you and your men of war, and go round about the city once, and thus shall you do 6 days. So the angel of the Lord is coming. We'll complete that next time we come together. But the angel of the Lord has come after all of these things have taken place to bring them out of the wilderness, to bring them into the place of walking with the Lord, to bring them into the place of walking with God. And so what we see here is that we walk with God once that promise has been fulfilled. Jesus died and rose again, and we walk with Him. We walk in the Lord. And then He baptized you with the Holy Spirit. He brought you across the river. He baptized you in the Holy Ghost and gave you power. Jesus said that you shall be endued with power. Amen? You will be endued with power not many days hence. So after Jesus rose from the dead, after the stone was rolled away, then in 50 days, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. 10 days after He had ascended, He taught them for 40 days. And then 10 days after He ascended, at the 50th day after Passover, which is the Feast of Pentecost, He baptized them in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and power came upon them. And they began to walk in the power of the living God. Here in the Promised Land, they began to walk in the power of God. God had them take every city. He led them through the Promised Land. They took the land. And that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was, is to elaborate. He said, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power. Right? He gave them a taste of it back in Luke chapter 10 and Luke chapter 9 and 10. You know, we sent out the 12, then He sent out the 70. He gave them power over sickness and over demons. He gave them a little taste of it. It was a temporary empowerment, right? But God, then after Pentecost, He gave them that power to walk in, to bring the gospel to the world, to every creature. Whosoever, you know, believes, whosoever will believe. And so that's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. Amen. It is the power of God, and the living God is in you to empower you to walk in the power of the gospel. Amen. To declare the good news of Jesus. So look over at Colossians chapter 2 for a minute. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is Colossians chapter 9 in the New Testament. The letter to the Colossians, written by Paul. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. If you're in him, you're complete. You're finished. You're complete. Well, it don't seem like it. It seems like I'm still messing up. No. See, you have a spirit, and your spirit is complete. It's just your body and your mind that tend to have some trouble. Your body and your mind tend to have some trouble. Go back to your spirit. Over in the Psalms of 103, where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So we command your soul. Over in Psalm 42, he says, talks about my soul, "Oh my soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down?" That's it. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" You ever had a disquieted soul, right? That's not your spirit. Your spirit is born from above. Your spirit is born from above. You're a new creation. Your spirit is born from above. But why are you? And David had this thing in Romans 7. Paul talks about it. Is that the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, those seem to be the things that I'm doing. Oh, dear Lord, you know, who's going to help me? I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. So he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" So have you ever been kind of depressed in your mind? It's okay to agree to say, "Yeah, I've experienced that." "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That is your mind, your will, your emotions, and all of those things that go on. He says, "Why art thou disquieted in me?" And then all of a sudden he has a declaration. "Hope thou in God." Hope thou in God. So you're commanding your soul. So you're talking to your soul. "Hey, what's going on here? You know, you're keeping me from rejoicing today because you're so depressed. Stop it. Hope thou in God." Over in, again, Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all you guys in there, you know, whatever you may be, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Amen. That's what they forgot to do in the wilderness.
"Where's Moses? I don't even know that Moses guy. We don't even know what happened to him. He went up on a mountain. He probably fell off, you know."
No, because so Moses was up there, and of course, you know, Aaron and Miriam, and you know, then we had a few guys who were hopeful, you know. But the people just were, I mean, they had just had mountains of miracles, and here they are, you know, at the foot of the mountain, you know, and this big mountain is shaking and lightning and everything going on. You know, well, God's up there, obviously. Something's going on. It wasn't doing that when we got here. And so Moses went up there. And so they just said, you know, I mean, it'd be the last time I'd think that you ought to build an idol is when God's up on the mountain next to you. It just wouldn't occur to me to, you know, get all my gold together and build me a golden idol about that time. It's just, I don't know what people do, why people do things. But God, see, sent down his word to love them and to bless them. He brought his word down. He sent his word and healed them. Amen? What a powerful thing. So listen here. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of everything. He's the remember the captain of the Lord's host came to talk to Joshua? In whom also you are, listen to this, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body. And here's the evidence of it, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So circumcision is a type of Jesus. It's a type of Christ. Having that foreskin cut off, having the flesh removed. The power of the flesh is removed. That's the type of Christ in the circumcision. Then we're buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. I love that, the operation of God. This is how God operates. The operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So, baptism into Christ replaces the circumcision. Baptism into Christ replaces the circumcision. The flesh is removed through baptism into Christ Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? So they came across that river and God removed the flesh. He removed the flesh, and then they had the Passover. They recognized they had the Passover. So they were stepping into the covenant that God gave us. They're stepping into that covenant to take the land. And then the very next story is the story of Jericho, how they take the land that God fought for them. We'll get into that next time. But God has now done this chapter is kind of like boring almost, you know. Well, they circumcised them again, had a little Passover, quit eating manna, and, you know, then we get to chapter 6. No, this is important. It's because he brought them back to the covenant. Amen? I'm in the covenant. I'm in the covenant. I've been baptized. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. The stone has been rolled away. All the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. It's all about the New Testament. All the Old Testament is all about the New Testament. And it was written by 40 authors over 1,500 years. And God put it all in a book for you. Amen? He put it in a book for you. I mean, and you know, we set it on the coffee table. Back in the old days, it was too big. It was too big to carry to church, you know. You know, it was, you remember that Bible that Grandma used to have on her thing? You know, it was like about this big. I mean, you wouldn't want to carry that. You had it bad enough carrying your books to school. You know, kids used to carry books to school. It was weird. I mean, we didn't even have backpacks back then. Joe, we didn't have backpacks. We carried books to school, and they were all falling out of our hands.
We had textbooks.
And we had to take them home every day. You know, can you imagine that? And so carrying around a Bible the size of Texas would, you know, it hurt you. You'd take out your rotator cuff. You know, it's tough. God gave it by, and now look at it. I got 50 of them right here on this little thingy.
In your corner.
I got 50 of them right there. 50 little Bibles right there. Total Bible, all the way in. And there, you know, problem is I got too much other information there. You know, you don't read the Bible, you end up reading Facebook. You end up reading the news. You know, yeah. You probably want a separate one that just is a Bible. And you can do that actually, you know. So what you want to do is get back to your covenant. Amen? Get back to the covenant of God. See, don't look at the news. It's fine. Look at the news. It's fine. Don't trust the news. And I don't mean like conspiracy theorists. What I mean is don't trust that what the news is not the last word. Your word of God is the last word. Amen. Is that right? The Word of God is the last word. You are born from above. All of your sins have been forgiven. You have been delivered from the power of death, and you will receive a new body when Jesus comes whenever that is, whether he comes before your body dies or after you're in the ground somewhere. Jesus will come for you, and you will live in eternity with him forever. And God will put you to work in the kingdom. It'll be great. It'll be a blessing. Amen. All right. You ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. Is that, thank God, we're in a covenant. And God doesn't give up on the covenant. After 40 years, he put them back in. He just plugged them all back in. Amen? He plugged them all back into the covenant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you did. Okay, good for you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, here's that covenant right here. Amen. Here's that covenant that we participate in, right? Now, you were baptized. If you hadn't been baptized, I encourage you to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism into Christ is what saves you. But baptism tells a bunch of other people that you did the same, that you did it. You've been baptized into Jesus Christ. Amen. Buried with him in baptism. Amen.